Phil's going to come up and just share a word with us.
Thanks. Just while we were worshiping, I just had an incredible sense that there's an element of fear in the room with some people. And I wasn't sure whether it was just me or whether it was for everybody. And I know that what God wants to bring in the presence of fear is peace. And I suppose I just want to share something really small, is that to encourage you. This weekend is a very sensitive weekend, in that 1 year ago this weekend, we were facing into a day that we didn't know what was going to happen. And the following day, my dad passed away. He had been quite sick for a while, and we woke up that morning and witnessed him take his last breath. And that was very, very sad. And then there was other things that happened in the last year. And what God showed me there was, you know, just he inserted peace into my heart, where I've been hurting the last week, you know, coming into that. And God just said, you know what, here's a little bit of peace. And what he showed me was, the day before my dad passed away, God was standing there. God was standing there and already seeing it all. God seeing ahead of what was coming to face me and my family. God seeing ahead of what was going to come against us. And God said, peace. And he gave peace. But it was my part to take that. So I just encourage you this morning, just even during the sermon, during whatever time is left and during the rest of your day, just recognize that God, whatever it is that you're moving into, whether it's a new season, whether it's a situation, God wants to bring peace into it. Amen.
Amen. God is good. Listen, just to invite you up to our location in Clondalkin this evening, I'm really looking forward to. We have a man speak. He was a man who was a Muslim, and he met Jesus along the way somewhere, and he got totally converted. That's a stupid word, is it? He just got turned on to Jesus, and out of that, some people came who didn't like his decision and threw acid into his face. And so you can imagine the damage that that would do to somebody. But this man has a message of reconciliation, a message of forgiveness. And I don't know about you, but I've never heard a story of someone who was a Muslim coming to Jesus. But I really want to hear that story, and invite you up at 6 o'clock to Clondalkin, and invite other people. I don't know whether I didn't even ask, which I don't know, but I assumed that I couldn't even really, I don't know, I'm just saying this, that I don't know whether I could have even advertised on Facebook. Sometimes you can't do these things in with certain testimonies, and so I just assumed I couldn't. But I can invite you to come along and to hear the story of a man whose life has been transformed by Jesus, and who has suffered obviously greatly for that decision. Because I tell you, following Jesus is for no wimps. It is for no wimps. Believe me, if you think this is a weak thing, believe me, walk with Jesus for a while and you see what comes against you. And you go, this is for people that have something more than, that's why I didn't like that word converted. It's not, it has to be more than being converted. It has to be more than joining a church. It has to be more, because when this comes against you, you have to have Jesus. And you have to have trust in who he is. And I'm just looking forward to this. And I'd love you all to come and to meet this man. Amen. And we bless him as he comes to our country to bless us. And just to echo out about tomorrow night, we believe in the scriptures in this church, and we believe not only in just listening to them, but actually studying the scriptures. And you're invited tomorrow evening to hear Sandy Tutti speak, who has been a lecturer in Bible colleges in Ireland, and she's teaching tomorrow night for the next sort of 8 weeks or something. So if you want to get into a Bible study, which is getting deeper into the Word of God, please come tomorrow night at 7:30, as Jay already said. So Father, we just ask that you bless your Word to us. We thank you for your kindness towards us, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you care. We thank you that you're interested. Thank you that you want to get involved. That, Lord, you always come where you're invited. You're always torn up to an invitation. And we invite you here, Lord, as we worshipped, as we listened, as we sang. We invite you, Lord, to take your word and to do with your word, Lord God, what you see fit to do with it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, we were supposed to have another preacher this morning, but they got sick. And so I was asking the Lord, what will I preach, Lord? And the Lord put some stuff on my heart that I've already had. You're supposed to be ready in an hour season. And this is what I felt the Lord put on my heart. And Phil looked over my shoulder and he says to me, is that the title of your sermon? And I says, yeah. I don't really do titles, if you notice. Adam always comes up and says, what will I call it? I go, call it what you want, I don't care. He's good at coming up with stuff. But I have over the top of this shalom, which is the Hebrew word for peace. And Phil says, I have a word about peace, because peace matches fear. And this is what the scripture has to say about the peace of God. And I pray today that you would know this peace, experience this peace. Because this peace is not just something. This peace is someone. It's someone. And listen to what the scripture says. This was like a couple of thousand years before Jesus was born, before Jesus walked on earth. The prophet spoke about Jesus. Well, the Bible speaks about Jesus from the very first page, or at least a couple of pages into the scriptures, where Adam and Eve fell in the garden, sinned in the garden, and then God says that, like, from the woman's womb, the woman's seed will crush your head, he says to the devil. So way back at the beginning, the Bible is speaking about Jesus. And you can go all the way through the Bible and you can point out scripture, hundreds and hundreds of scriptures. That's talking about Jesus there. That's talking about Jesus there. And this is what the prophet Isaiah said. So he says to us in Isaiah 9 verse 6, it says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So peace is not just a state of being. Peace is a person. And this is what, according to Strong's Concordance, who takes Hebrew words and they break them down so that we can understand what this word means. So it says, when the Bible speaks about peace, it speaks this word, Hebrew word called shalom. And peace. That's what they used to do in the hippies days. Any ex-hippies here? Dave is an ex-hippie. Peace out, man. Shalom. And this is what Strong, according to Strong's concordance, breaks down this word. This is what this word shalom means. It's not a shallow word. It's a deep word. It's full of meaning and packed with grace, packed with all types of things that you and I can have. Listen to what it means. It means, shalom means completeness. That this Prince of Peace brings to brokenness completeness. It means wholeness. It means health. It means safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony. Listen to what it means. The absence of agitation or discord. So this word in our lives, when the Prince of Peace comes in, he brings wholeness, health, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, fullness, rest, and harmony. He brings the absence of agitation. So here's breaking down all of this stuff for us today. Peace is the power to cause chaotic things to come into perfect calmness. I'll say it again. Peace is the power to cause chaotic things to come to perfect calm. Wherever you're at war, whatever storm is in your life, this peace that God gives is able to bring chaotic things to absolute calmness. You remember in the scriptures, when Jesus is at the height of his popularity, he's teaching the people in Luke 4, I think it is. He's teaching the people the things of God. There's 5,000 getting fed with a couple of loaves and a couple of fishes. People are loving Jesus. Jesus had three periods in his life. And one of them, when he was in obscurity, when he was a little boy growing up, nobody knew that he was the Messiah. Mary had obviously knew at times. And then there was from obscurity, he went to popularity. And this was the period where everybody loved Jesus. This is the period where he's great. Like, the religious was there always trying to catch him out. But the populace of people wanted Jesus. Yeah, you're our king, you're our king. And then he went from popularity to being crucified. So I think don't get caught up in popularity so much, because the same people that think you're great will be the same people that probably crucify you in a couple of weeks. Have you known some friends like that? You're great till they go to the next person and tell them what a wally you are. But this was in a period where Jesus was at his most popular. And he was teaching the people. And then he says to his disciples, get up, we're going across to the other side. So the Prince of Peace says, get up, we're going to the other side. Can I tell you, the Prince of Peace will get you to your destination. He will get you to the other side. And so they get in the boat. And on the way over, Jesus goes asleep. We're familiar with this story. He goes asleep, and then a storm quickens up. And the Sea of Galilee, that they say even today, that a storm can whip up in an instant. And what happened was, the storm whipped up in an instant. And also what happened was that this was so stormy that these men who were seasoned fishermen couldn't handle the storm. They've been on the lake all their life. They would know what a storm looked like, felt like, and they got through to the other side. But this storm was so big, was so strong, that it says that the boat was being swamped, and they thought they were going to die. Now, that's beyond a storm, isn't it? Have you ever been in a situation where you think you're not going to get over? And what do? You bargain with God. Please, God, if you get me out of this, I'll be a good boy. Yeah, been there, done that 100 times. I'm telling you, God, I won't do it again. Just get this storm. But they thought you were going to die. Now, how could Jesus sleep in the midst of that storm? Because he was the Prince of Peace. There was no storm going to disturb who he was. And he wasn't going to let anything outside of him determine where he was going. If Jesus says you're going to the other side, have a guess what? You're going to the other side. Even if there's a storm, that you're going to the other side. And there's a place in God where you can know a peace and things can be raging around you, where inside of you, it's not touching you. You experience the wind, you see the waves, but somehow you know, if Jesus said it, I'm going to get it. If Jesus says, I'm going somewhere, I'm going somewhere. And he went to Jesus and woke him up. And they said to Jesus, Jesus, do you not care? We're going to die. What an incredible, that's the exact words. If anyone cares, Jesus cares. Friends might leave you, parents might leave you, job mates might leave you, but I want to tell you, Jesus won't leave you. And you wake him up, and Jesus looks around at the winds and the waves. And he starts to speak to them. And he says, be calm. Another translation says, be at peace. Another translation says, Jesus gets up and he goes, shh. And he shushes the wind. And he says, shalom. Be still. And you know what happened? The waves and the wind obeyed him. Do you know why the waves and the wind obeyed him? Because he made them. They knew his voice. They knew his authority. And I want to tell you, if the winds and waves can know his peace, so can you and I. Ain't no wave going to get my place. Ain't no wind going to get my place. That you today can experience the peace of God in your life as an event. This was an event, wasn't it? It was an event. You're going through a storm. Something's going on in your life. Someone prays for you. And boom, something changes. You can live in it as an event. Or you can walk in this peace as a lifestyle. Jesus can be in your boat and you'll experience peace in an eventful situation, or he can be in your life and you walk in the peace that he gives. You know what my measurement of my life is? My peace. The peace that God gives you when you ask Jesus into your life. That's my measurement. You know when I know I fail God, and what really rocks me when I fail God? My peace is gone. My peace is upset. My peace is disturbed. Like, and if I'm making a decision about something, and I'm like, well, I just have to go and make this decision. I know I'm making the wrong decision. You know why? Because my peace is upset. It's like God has given it to me as a spirit level. As something to decide. No, I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden I feel agitation, because peace is the absence of agitation or discord. If I'm upset with someone, if someone's done anything on me, if I'm holding something against somebody, do you know what God disturbs? My peace. Put it right, son. Because where peace is, there's an absence of discord. When I'm in chaos and I'm trying to get through the storm by myself, on the bow, pulling up the rig and getting the sails out, and I'm still feeling I'm going under, do you know what I feel then? The peace is gone, and I go, I'm trying to do this in my own strength again. He gives us this peace as a lifestyle to walk in. When I don't obey him, something gets upset in my peace level. And when I go back to obedience, I don't know why I do all these noises, but it's like, have you been there? You know what I'm saying? And Jesus speaks and he says, shalom. And he brings that chaotic storm up to perfect calm. And then Jesus gets to the other side. I'm sure the disciples went, phew, I didn't think I was going to come out of that. He gets to the other side. Peace will get you to the other side. And do you know how was there a man that was in torment? A man that was in the opposite of wholeness and completeness and prosperity. A man that was tormented in his own mind. A man that was tormented so much so by demons that he had to leave his village, leave his town, because maybe the people were afraid he'd harm others. He was bound with chains on his hands, on his feet. And so strong was this demonic force in him that he broke the chains. And nowhere he ended living in the tombstones. He ended living in the graveyard. That this now became his dwelling place. No peace, tormented. In fact, the Bible says he would take stones and cut himself. Self-harming. Thinking, I get release from this pain that's on the inside if I open my body up and something will come out. It's not changed. That's what our people do. That's probably what some of you guys have done. Where can I find peace? Where can I get away from this pain? Where can I get away from this brokenness? Where can I get away from this incompleteness? And he retreated to the graveyard. I don't know. Maybe he just screamed at night time. No words. No more words. No more syllables to express the pain that he felt on the in the inside. So maybe he just came out and roared at the moon or something. Ah! And God able to interpret the very pain that was in him, even just by a roar. And Jesus is on the other side, and the Father says to Jesus, because Jesus didn't do anything or go anywhere unless the Father told him. That's what Jesus said. So the Father must have whispered in Jesus' ear, Jesus, there's a man that needs the Prince of Peace. One person. One person. You think, is it even worth the energy to get across the ocean? Oh, it wasn't the ocean, sorry, the sea. Is it even worth all the energy of getting all these men? You know what men are like, trying to get them together to get in the boat to go somewhere, don't you? Those men know what women are like to get them in a boat and go somewhere. The boat was pulling off. I just have to hang out the washing. Is that mad? Oh, I forgot to put the washing in the washing machine. Maybe you think you're not worth it. Maybe you think, would God be bothered with my situation, my storm? Yeah, he is. And anything else other than that is an absolute lie from hell. He's interested in one person. Well, maybe I'm a person. Maybe he's interested in people that have it all together. This man was far from being altogether. Maybe he's into somebody that is more sociable, more outgoing. This man wasn't any of that. Maybe, look, he wouldn't want anyone that is cutting their arms to pieces. Yeah, he does. And the Father says, Jesus, go over there. And Jesus says to the disciples, we're going over there. And then they go over there. And there's a man that is freaking out. And as soon as the principality of that sound, wherever it is, the Prince of Peace just puts his foot off the boat. And all the chaos succumbed to his footprint on the land. The man runs down. And the man went to tell you a bit about him. He said he had a legion of demons, which is a couple of thousand people, a couple of thousand in him. And some people think that they were, he was saying that to intimidate Jesus. You can't intimidate Jesus. You can't manipulate Jesus. You can't bring this peace, Prince of Peace, under your chaos. He's above, Psalm 18 says he's above the storm and he's above the raging sea. You won't bring Jesus under that because he's above that. And that's why we reach out to him. That's why we look up to him. That's why we call on him. Because he's not in it. He's not succumbed to the chaos around us. He's above it. And the man, the Bible says, so he's full of all of this stuff. And he's full of demons. He's full of thousands of demons. And he runs down. I tell you what, there's no demon that can keep you waiting, Jesus. When the Prince of Peace steps in, doesn't matter if you have thousands of them, I'm telling you, they're succumbing to the Prince of Peace that brings chaotic things to perfect calmness. And he comes down and he starts talking and there's this discord going on. And Jesus deals with his torment and his brokenness and his torment. This is what the Bible says when he met the Prince of Peace. That he was sitting there in his right mind and fully clothed. Because he was running around in his name. His dignity was gone. His respect was gone. He was just a wild, naked man running around. Probably didn't wash. Roaring. Kids used to say, if you don't go to sleep, I'll get the tombstone terrorists to get you. If you don't be good, I'll get the tombstone terrorists to come after you. Because we put them crazy things on children. We want to know why they're fearful going to bed. But you're out there saying the tombstone terrorist is coming to get him. And here was the man sitting there in his right mind and fully clothed. His dignity, his respect. And not only had he got fully clothed and fully sitting in his right mind, but Jesus told him in the end, when all of the talking was going on, he says, I'm going to send you back to the Decapolis, which means 10 cities. And you're going to tell them your story, what I've done for you. So he gets a commission, he gets his purpose reinstated. When he meets the Prince of Peace, he gets his mind restored, he gets his dignity restored, and he gets his purpose commissioned by God to go and do something incredible for him. And that's what happens when you meet the Prince of Peace. And Jesus talks to the disciples, and he says to them, fear not, my peace I give to you. Fear not. Was that not what God said to some people earlier? True, Phil. There's people here bound with fear. He says, fear not, my peace I give to you. Why? Because my peace breaks fear. My peace brings completeness and wholeness. Corinthians says this, that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That the kingdom of God is about righteousness and about peace and about joy. And here's a question. Is the kingdom of God expanding in our lives? How is your righteousness level? Or how is the border of the kingdom regarding righteousness in our life? How is the border of peace is expanding in our lives? Or is there areas of our lives that is just chaotic? Is there areas of our life that is under unrighteousness? It's the areas of our lives where we're just the biggest sourpusses that has ever walked the earth when the Bible says the kingdom of God is about joy. And all we have to do, it's not condemnation, it's like, well, where am I at in my righteousness? Am I living for God? Or am I living for myself? Am I living in sin? Am I adopting a lifestyle of sin again? Which is so easy to do. Am I putting other idols in my life? Or am I living out of the righteousness that Jesus has already attained for me? Or am I always chaotic? Well, that means the kingdom of God that is peace needs to expand into those areas and brings that chaos under calmness and stillness and wholeness. And what about my joy? If this is not about joy, I'm over. Because outside of joy, it's endurance. I'll tell you, obedience without joy is misery. Discipline without joy is traumatic. I have to love God. I have to go to church. I have to be obedient. I have to give in to the offering. I have to. Look at my face when I say I have to. I have to be better. I have to be good. I have to produce fruit of the Spirit. Leave me. You're trying to be patient. Where are you at with this stuff? Where is your life? And all I'm trying to say is, we just have to be honest. Before God. Say, God, I'm back in sin. Some people forget the scriptures talk about things. Some people think they can just live whatever sexual way they want outside of God's best in the Bible. All it brings is misery. All it brings is death, actually, the Bible says. Where are we at? It's looking in the mirror. And you know how hard it is to look in the mirror when you're not in this? You look away quick. You can't look yourself in the eye. Jesus says, I want to bring wholeness and completeness. I want to bring joy. He says, I want to get to the other side. This is what he says to the disciples. Another place he says to the disciples, John 21, he walks through the wall. He's after rising from the dead. Now, we talk about a freaky situation. Just imagine Jesus walking through your wall. It's another great noise, isn't it? And he's there. Listen to what he says. Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. The peace that causes you to sleep in the storm, he says, I give to you. He says, peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Jesus was whole, complete, prosperous, in harmony, no discord within him. And he says, I give this to you. Do we want that? And this peace, Naomi was singing a song up on the stage, A Few Little Lions. She kept saying, I'll be your song. Did anyone hear that? I'll be our song. And I was like, Lord, what are you saying? I'll be our song. I tell you, peace produces a song inside you. When everyone is singing the sad song, you have something different to sing. When everyone's down singing the blues, you're singing pop songs. You're singing something that brings joy and laughter. In the Bible, Moses was in Egypt. And in Egypt, the people of God were slaves. They didn't have any flags. They didn't have any of their own emblems as a people. It was taken away from them. Didn't have any voice. They didn't have any sounds of their own because the Egyptians, who was their slave masters and their taskmasters, used to shut them up. And in Exodus, when they come out of Egypt, they go on to the other side of Egypt. And it says this, I'll better read it. It says that Moses so they're coming out of Egypt and the Egyptians decide we're gonna bring them back and we're gonna actually slaughter them. And as they're going, that Moses is like, God, what will I do? He's faced with a sea that was like it was a sea this time. And the sea is rage and the sea is powerful. And he looks up to God. Why? Because God is above the sea. He's above what is powerful on earth. He's above it. And he looks up and God says, lift up the staff. He had a stick. And when he lifted up the stick, the sea parted. And all the people walked across this sea to safety. And when the Egyptians came, then the sea came in and the Lord dealt with all the Egyptians. You get to the other side, right? Listen to what it says. Peace will get you to the other side. It says Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. He says, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both the horse and the driver, he is hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense, and he has come my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh and all his chariots couldn't contend with this God. So they go over to the other side, and Moses, what does he do? Starts to sing. Peace produces sounds that we never thought we'd ever sing again or we'd ever say again. Do you ever think, I'll never be the same person again? No, you won't be in God. You'll be a different person. So to get over to the other side, and Moses sings this song. Then it says this, then Miriam, the prophet who was Aaron's sister, she took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women took a tambourine in her hand, and she followed them singing and dancing. That's incredible. And she says to them, she says to everybody, so Moses sang to the Lord, but she sang to the people, and she sings to the people, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both driver and horse, he's hurled into the sea. So he takes the tambourine. She takes the tambourine, and she starts dancing. Now here's the thing. Do you know where she got the tambourine? In Egypt, the people of God weren't allowed to have their own voice. So if somebody was talking, like Sharon and Jay were saying, one day we'll get free. Or they were just talking about their children. The slave masters, or if the woman was in the house talking to another woman, the mistress of the house, when she get them talking, she'd just come over. Try talk there. It would shut them up. You haven't got anything to say. You haven't got anything to do. And this would happen. It was actually on a long stick. They wouldn't have been that close to them. So every time they got talking, they... One day I might break free. One day I'll have peace. That's probably what you're saying. One day I will get out of this storm and something is doing this. One day I'll sing up on the stage and then the enemy reminds you of your sin. Or the enemy reminds you of your brokenness. Or your past. One day I'll be someone different. I'll do something for God. You're a nobody. Do you not remember they told you that from school? You're nothing. And so when the people of God were leaving Egypt, the Bible says that the Egyptians gave them things when they were leaving. They gave them fine material. They gave them jewelry. They gave them rubies. They gave them pots and pans and you name it. When they were coming out, they were being blessed coming out of Egypt by the Egyptians. And in case we don't know, that's what they built the tabernacle for God out of in the desert. What they took out of Egypt. That's what they built. They'd gold or everything. Someone asked the question, where did they get the tambourine? This is not an Israel like instrument. The timbrel, which this came from, the timbrel. Timbrel and the tambourine came from Egypt. So can you imagine all the women on the way out? And here's the mistress. There's fine linen for you. There's good clothing for you. There's rubies and gold. There's all types of things for you. And the anything else you want, and the woman, one woman says, I'll take the timbrel. See that on the mantelpiece? I'll have that. And every other woman, because it says all the women took them. It says all the women were dancing with them. And it's just, so all them going out, by the way, love, I'll have that. The timbrel, what would you want that for? And when they got to the other side, when the king of, and the prince of peace got into the other side, they took their timbrels, the things that was designed to shut them up, and God used them now as a praise instrument. And there's the thing, whatever the enemy or whatever life is thrown at you to shut you down, whatever voice is in your head when you're going to do something from God, whenever that comes against you, God will take that and turn it into that. All the single ladies, God will take it. If you trust him, he will take what has broken you and pushed you down, and he'll use it to exalt him in the heavens. We can have what Jesus is. We can have it. Do you know who it's down to? Us. He's already given them. Jesus didn't come, is not coming next week to die on the cross. He already died on the cross. Everything that he made, that he done on the cross, he made available to us now. What do we have to do? Let's take it. By faith, we reach in and we take it. Whether it's healing, deliverance, freedom, salvation, he's already accomplished it and we take it. It's like it's on the shelf. We decide whether we want to go and reach up and get it. Or we can go to reach up to get it and we hear a voice going, you don't deserve this. Or who are you think you are? And we're all, you're hearing people going, one day I went up and I took my freedom and now I have it. And you think I'm going to get my freedom and then the voice comes, well, what if you fail tomorrow? Well, you know what Jesus says about tomorrow? Let it look after itself. It's amazing the enemy always reminds us of tomorrows that we don't even know. Or we mightn't even be around to see. Our own flesh, but remember the last time you tried to get free and the next day you fell? Let the next day look after itself. All you have is now. All you have is now. Forgiveness is on that. I'm going to take my forgiveness. I'm going to forgive others is on the shelf. The grace to forgive others. But what if they hurt me again tomorrow? Let tomorrow look after itself. You just take that pain and you turn it into a praise. And you see what God will do in their lives. Can I get us to stand, please? And can I ask the worship team to come back? I look at the Bible sometimes and I see, what I see is, the Bible's all about music and sound and it's like a musical. It's like this happens in Egypt, they come out and they make a song and dance about it. When you read the end of it, like read Revelations, it's all about song and dance. That God's kids get to dance all the way into eternity and he leads them in singing and dancing. And we can, I look at this and I imagine, so they reckoned 2 million people walked out of Egypt into freedom. So let's break it down a bit. Say a million, say 800,000 was men. And so there would have to be up to nearly 800,000 women, unless they were Irish and had a gang of kids. And so imagine, just say even 500,000, just imagine what 500,000 women look like, sound like, on a tambourine and dancing. Just close your eyes for a minute. Imagine what a sustained sound of 500,000 tambourines, just like sustaining a sound that the Spirit of God moves upon and brings dance with it. Sound always releases a dance. Can you imagine the freedom that was being sung and echoed from heaven over the men that led the milk, over the men that says we're not staying in Egypt, that God has put a dream in our hearts and we're going after it and he'll get us to the other side. I don't know how, but he will do it. And all the women, this sustained sound. Do you know what it says a bit further on? That in the other, they were going into the promised land and it says that the people heard of the Israelites and their God and they were terrified. Maybe they heard 500,000 women. The sound of 500,000, that's a million feet tapping and dancing. The reverb going right under the earth into the rest of the future to say that the women and their God is coming. That the men and their God is coming. And that our kids won't be slaves to what we were enslaved to. And they won't know the brokenness that we've known. They won't know the incompleteness that we've known. They won't know living in graveyards. And God sends a sound into the future. And our kids pick her up and they walk in a freedom that we know, but they will never know the bondage of it. We love you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, as your desire to have freedom in our lives. Because you know how we are a real church. But when I look at my life, I'm looking in areas of my life saying, I need the kingdom of God to expand there. Because I'm not living at the place I should be. I'm not in peace fully. I'm not in full righteousness. I'm not in full joy. And I open myself up to God and go, Lord, I need you more than ever. I'm 27 years walking with the Lord. And he is amazing. But as you get older, you know your dependency is upon him greater. And this is what I want to do. I want to give an invitation. We have time on the clock. But first of all, with every eye closed, and if you can experience peace if I pray for you, or we pray for you, or you can walk into peace of asking the Prince of Peace to be your King and to be your God. You can walk in it. And how do we get there? We say, Jesus, I need you. I need your forgiveness. I need you to be my King. I need you to be my Lord. And if you've never done that, that's where it all starts. And this can be an event or this can be something you live in. It's up to us. So will you please close your eyes just for peace or just for privacy? And you say, Noel, I want this Prince of Peace to be my Prince of Peace. You just put up your hand and put it back down very quickly and you say, yeah. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, bro, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I want this Prince of Peace to be my Savior. Anyone else? I want this Prince. This world doesn't need, you know what this world needs? A Savior. Because it's going to hell in a handbasket. And it needs a Savior. And of all the messages that we can say to our friends and family, I tell you what, this is the best one. We need a Savior. We're drowning. And the rest of the world is telling us it's all right. But we know we're drowning. So you want this Prince of Peace to be your Savior. Will you repeat this prayer after me? All of us together. All you're doing is asking Jesus to be your Savior. To be your Prince. Say this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came from heaven to earth to show us the way to the Father. I thank you that you heard my cry. And I come to you today and I give my life to you. And I ask you to be my Prince of Peace, to be my Savior, to be my Lord. I accept your forgiveness. I accept that I am now a child of God. Jesus, set me in my right mind, in a mind that is healed, and a life that is whole. Prosper me in every way. Jesus, I give my life to you. If you've said that from your heart, I want to tell you God takes that serious, that little prayer. And I just pray right now that you receive that peace of coming into the kingdom of God. Just receive it. Just in your heart, just receive it right now. Watch everything else just fade into the background. Watch the storm subsiding, because you know someone in your world that can calm the storms. He says this, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. And for all of us, maybe we need some of this peace. We need this expansion of the kingdom of God within us. And fear is trying to rule, or sin is trying to rule, or sadness is trying to rule, or grief is trying to rule, or gloom is trying to rule, or all pain is trying to rule, to shut you up. Can I just give an altar call for you to come and step out? And you're stepping out saying, you're coming to the front, you're saying, God, I need you. I know I need the kingdom of God to expand. Just come straight away. I'm not at peace in this. I have no joy here. I'm sinning here. I'm under bondage or fear here. And the storm is raging around me. And the enemy is shutting me up. Even to the point he's not allowing you to call upon Jesus. That he has us under such condemnation at times that we're ashamed to call on the name of Jesus. If that's you, come on. If you've given your life to Jesus for the first time, why don't you come up and we lay hands and pray for you that God will fill you up right now and baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in power. He doesn't ask you to live this life. He gives you the power to live this life. He gives you the grace to live this life. He doesn't just ask us to be religious. He gives us a grace to live out the very best intention and plan and purpose that He has for our life. So let's sing a song. And if the prayer team could come. And this is what we're praying. Just as Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." That's the prayer we want to pray into our lives today. The peace of Jesus. The peace that only He can give. The peace that causes chaotic things to subside and stop. The peace that takes chaos and nearly smothers it. And Romans says this, that the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. That the very voice that's telling you you're nothing and is shaking that tambourine into your face, He says the God of peace will crush that devil. When we look to God, we get peace, and the devil takes a beating. Peace wears boots. We just invite you, Lord. We just invite you right now to be Prince of Peace amongst us. And I pray as we sing, and that you are being touched and set free by God, that He will take what's beating you down and you will release your sound into the heavens. That's what Newton done. He said, "I was lost, but now I'm found." He's like, "I was blind, I couldn't see anything, I was put down." And then he goes, "But now I can see." And that's what God wants to do. Take that thing and turn it into a praise to God. Let's sing, and ministry team will come and pray.